Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. The countdown to the Masters is on. We'll throw a couple of future plays out at you, or at least some historical perspective here this evening. Although, we will tell you, tomorrow night and on Game Time Decisions and on Sports Rage Late Night, that's where we're really going to dive in to all the Masters picks, props, matchups, and everything else in between. It was a wild day of baseball today, but haven't they all been, especially if you're a betting man, all right? These games, no lead is ever freaking safe, unless you're the Cincinnati Reds and you're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they've absolutely mauled them, smashed them once again. It's been a great start to the season. And it's interesting, isn't it, with the Cincinnati Reds. In past years, the Reds had a great offense, but their pitching blew. And then last year, they had great pitching, but they couldn't hit suddenly. It's like bizarro world. But everything has sort of come together for the Reds so far, the start of the season. And whatever, man, I don't care if it lasts. It's all about identifying these hot teams and identifying the cold teams while the streaks are going on. And right now, no one's crushing the baseball like the Cincinnati Reds are. The Reds have put up 46 runs this season. In fact, they have a plus minus run differential of 24 runs so far. Another team that is scorching hot to start the year. And I'm telling you, the more the people hate them, the more the people are going to throw trash cans on the field, the more the people are going to call them cheaters. It's just going to motivate the Houston Astros. The Astros aren't sorry for cheating in the first place, so they're not going to feel bad for getting called out by a bunch of jackass fans now, right? And if anything, it's just going to motivate them. You know, like it's, you know, and I've said this before, and I've said this before about the New England Patriots, and we've seen it time and time again with Brady. Like, and same thing this year with Brady again. Like, I remember the first game of the year this year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played the New Orleans Saints. The Buccaneers didn't even play that poorly. They were in the football game, and everybody buried Tom Brady after the game. Oh, look, he's done. It's never going to work. This isn't going to work. It was the first freaking game. And then basically by week six and week seven, people were like, oh, it's a failure. And Brady's done. And I'm thinking, are you guys nuts? If you actually don't want Brady to succeed, don't call him out. All right? He hears all.
Coming at you all day.
Every day.
With more attitude than other lesser networks would deem appropriate. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenzi on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Oh, yeah,
It's all set. They got the bug boy on.
The bug boy?
The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a little slow out there. It rained last night. Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up. Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
What you don't? You say you will, but you won't. You think you win, but you won't.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. We're kicking it on the Twisted Tuesday, just talking some Major League Baseball, doing a little market watch right now, trying to identify some hot teams, trends, totals, and everything else in between. Listen, we didn't win every baseball bet today, but we won more baseball than we lost today. And one of the reasons why is we identified a couple of solid trends along the way. One of them was I brought up that, you know, Gerrit Cole hadn't won yet. Hard to believe, but Gerrit Cole had never won yet in front of fans at Yankee Stadium. There were no fans last year. They lost their the season opener in front of fans to the Blue Jays, and the Yankees absolutely own the Baltimore Orioles. I believe it's now 12 in a row that they've lost in New York. We talked about the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies hadn't started a season 5-0 since 1915. So we're talking about 106 years. 106 years, plus Stroman was on the hill here tonight. We figured that the New York Mets would actually hit the baseball tonight because Jacob DeGrom wasn't pitching. Speaking of DeGrom as well, we talked about the stat briefly last night, but I retweeted it this afternoon. So right now the Mets, when DeGrom pitches, they are now 36-41. 36-41. They've blown 31 leads for this guy over his career. 31 leads. It's almost insanity. But the thing is, he's always a big favorite. So even though it's hard to bet against DeGrom when he's on the hill with the Mets, it's something to think of, guys. They've lost more than they've won when he pitches, and he's always like a minus 200 or more favorite. All right? So that's another something to keep your eye on. So we're talking about hot teams. The Cincinnati Reds are scorching. They put up 46 runs so far. Let's check in with the prices right now. So this is if you're betting $100 a game. So it keeps it simple. $100 units, money lines, baseball, not run lines. But we'll get into the run lines momentarily as well. So let's start off with the American League Central. The Kansas City Royals are up $150 on the season. The Detroit Tigers are up $225 on the season. You see what I'm saying? Like, how many people, casual fans, want to bet on the Royals or the Tigers? Well, the Royals and Tigers are a combined 6-3 right now. And the Royals and Tigers are always going to be underdogs. So anytime they win a game, it puts you in a nice little, it puts you in a nice situation, right? Like if you're betting them in a series, you take them twice in a series as underdogs and they win 2 out of 3, you're making good money. And so far, that's what's happened. So Kansas City's 3-1 on the year. They're up $150. The Detroit Tigers are up $225 so far on the season. $100 bettors betting every game, all 5 games. Minnesota Twins, $86. You see the difference? That's what I'm talking about. Like, in baseball, you sort of have to have faith and bet on bad teams. As case in point here, look, Minnesota's 3-2, yet you bet all 5 games on the Twins, you're only up $86. You bet all 5 games on the Tigers, you're up $225. All right? Chicago White Sox. The White Sox are a trendy team coming into the year, so the White Sox are going to be favorites all the time. So even though the White Sox don't have a terrible record, and they did win tonight, and they're now 17-0 against Southpaws. 17-0 against Southpaws. That's something to remember moving forward. It's unbelievable. They didn't lose last year to a Southpaw once. 14-0, and now they're 3-0 this year. But the Chicago White Sox, now 3-3 on the season. So the White Sox even up their record this evening. As far as the White Sox are concerned, after tonight's win, you're basically at even money. They came into tonight at -115, and then they win tonight's baseball game. Cleveland Indians. I've talked about the Cleveland Indians for years, guys. Even when the Cleveland Indians are good, they're money burners. All right? Like, I'm telling you, even when the Indians have, like, the Indians are 8 or 10 games over 500, they're going to be, like, minus $200 or something. I don't know. Like, there's something about the Cleveland Indians and the odds makers that they love this team. They always make them favorites. And, look, the Indians are 1-3 on the season. They're down $223. The Indians are always a good fade. They're overpriced all the time. American League East, the Toronto Blue Jays lost to Texas tonight, but they're still up $199 on the season because they beat the Yankees as underdogs. The Yankees are 3-2 on the year. See, classic example. You bet on good teams, you get in trouble in baseball. The Yankees are 3-2 on the year, but they're down $61, right? Because they're big favorites all the time. The Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles are giving some of this money back right now. The Orioles were like plus 459, but you know they keep getting their ass handed to them by the Yankees. So now they're up $259 on the season still. The Tampa Bay Rays are money burners, and they're starting to piss me off, I tell you. The Rays have lost two games in a row to the Boston Red Sox, and you're down a couple of $100 betting on Tampa games right now. And you're actually plus money if you're betting on Boston right now, considering that Tampa were favorites this evening. The Houston Astros, are the Astros the biggest money makers in baseball so far? And yes, indeed they are. The Astros are up $396 on the year. Through six games, you're up $396 betting on every Houston Astro game. The Angels are up $184. Seattle were plus 11. Now Seattle are going to be down about a buck 11 or so. The Texas Rangers minus $22 on the season. And the Oakland Athletics are just burning money right now. All right, these guys are just burning money. You're down $600 if you're betting on Athletic games. We talked about the Reds. The Reds are 4-1, but they're only plus 217 right now due to the fact that they're playing Pittsburgh and they're favored here. But the Reds have taken care of business, 4-1 on the year, plus 217 as far as if you're $100 better. Chicago Cubs are up $3 on the season. Cardinals are up 137. The Milwaukee Brewers have cost you 105. The Pittsburgh Pirates are down 213. So the biggest money maker in the league so far is Houston at 396. The biggest loser in the league so far, the Houston Athletics, that cost you minus $600 so far. The Pittsburgh Pirates have only cost you $213. Philadelphia have been killing it. They're up $358 for the $100 better. Washington have only played one game, so you're up $94 on the dollar. The New York Mets, you're down $21 on the season through two games. The Miami Marlins are costing you money if you're a fish fan and you're stepping up to the window every day with these guys. They're down $305. I was on them today. It was a frustrating loss. They led most of the game. They ended up losing. And the Atlanta Braves just pissed me off. They're a train wreck. They're down $400. Dodgers are only up 159. But this is what we talk about with the Dodgers. So the Dodgers are now, now after tonight's win, they'll be about 230, 240. So the thing with the Dodgers is, though, guys, they're 5-1, but four of their wins are by more than a run and a half. So, and Merrill brought it up. Last year, they were absolutely dominant on the run line as well. So if you're betting on the Dodgers, don't hesitate to actually just lay the run line, and you're going to make a lot more money in the long term. San Diego are down $59 because they keep on laying big numbers. We'll get you some totals. San Diego are a big under team. San Diego have been a big under team. Oakland were 5-0 to the over until tonight. Now 5-1. Houston are 5-1 to the over. The Blue Jays are 4-1 to the under. The Yankees, 4-1 to the under.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Did you think that would be going over?
Non-stop live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
What are you not going to listen?
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you.
It's meant memories,
family,
friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun.
Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. Kick out to Skull in Michigan. Sends us a tweet and joined the Market Watch segment. Just what the doctor ordered while we're trying to identify. Doesn't mean that these teams that are like 5-1 to the under now are going to continue this trend. But some of these trends you want to hop on while they're hot right now. And we talked about it. Steve Merrill was with us earlier and he uses the phrase, you don't want to catch a falling knife. You don't want to get in front of a speeding train, etc. And in baseball, teams are extremely streaky. And we're seeing this right now. Look at the Oakland Athletics. They just can't get out of their own way. Right now, it's been a disastrous start to the season for Oakland. They lose again tonight. I was on the Dodgers, but I had it parlayed with the San Jose Sharks. A little frustrating. We did hit with the White Sox on the way out. We talked about the White Sox now being 17-0 against left-handed pitching. But as far as totals are concerned, like one-sided sort of, you know, so far, San Diego 5-1 to the under. The Atlanta Braves 3-1 to the under. Philadelphia is now 3-2 actually, as far as totals. Cincinnati's 4-1 to the over. The Cubs are 4-1 to the under. Oakland now 5-1 to the over after tonight's game goes under. The Houston Astros are crushing the baseball. They're 5-1. I'll tell you though, as far as play on teams moving forward here, all right. San Diego are the real deal. So even without Tatis, San Diego can still win baseball games. They're deeper than just Tatis. Tatis is the guy that's going to get all the media attention. And I say this even as a Dodger fan, but I don't want Tatis to be injured long term. You want the best players to be out there playing for the good of the sport, for the good of the league, for the good of the rivalries, and for everything else in between. But the thing with San Diego is San Diego were priced like Los Angeles are now almost, right? San Diego are a big public team now. So even though they're going to grind out wins, they might not be the most profitable team to bet on as case in point, as you know, they're down $59 on the season right now. All right, even though they've won more than they've lost. Now, the Los Angeles Dodgers, Steve Merrill brought it up earlier. I've talked about it. Remember in the playoffs, it was just like, you know, nightly thing. So the Dodgers, 5-1 on the season, and four of their five wins are by a run and a half or more. And the Dodgers generally just kill teams, and they don't win a lot of games by one run. They just don't. They don't find themselves in a lot of close games. All right, they might lose, right? They might lose, but when they win, they're gonna win. By more than, you know, we can go back into last year, but whatever. Last year's last year. All we can tell you so far is this year. Four of their five wins, guys, have come by more than a run and a half so far. So the Dodgers, we know the Dodgers are the real deal, but there's money to be made with the Dodgers. And one thing with the Dodgers is, too, they're motivated by San Diego. They know San Diego's damn good. So they're never really going to let up, which is a good thing. San Diego will motivate them. The competition is good. You know, what's usually across the street from a gas station, another gas station, right? So competition is good, and it'll actually drive the Dodgers. But moving forward, I think the Dodgers are definitely a play-on team. Run lines moving forward. Philadelphia, whatever. Philadelphia just got off to a hot start here. This division is pretty evenly balanced between all these teams. Atlanta is a good team to keep our eye on here. You know, listen, Atlanta haven't won a baseball game yet, and they have to be getting pretty frustrated right now. But the Braves have so much talent that once they start winning a few games, that's when we're going to ride them. All right, so look, the Braves play the Nationals again tomorrow, and then they get then they go home. On Friday, they get the Philadelphia Phillies. That's where it'll be payback. The Braves are going to have a big weekend this weekend. All right, they're not going to get beat up by the Phillies again. They just got beat up by these guys. All right, they just got swept by these guys. They're not going to get swept by them again. Something to keep our eye on moving forward. And you know what? I'm probably going to go back to the well with the Braves tomorrow against the Nationals when you consider the Nationals are missing 10 guys due to COVID. But it didn't seem to matter for them. That was a frustrating loss, man. The Braves are a team that I've lost a lot of money on over the years, though. If I bet against them, they win. If I bet on them, they suck. It's just one of those deals. But teams that I like moving forward, I'm down with the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are the real deal on the run line. San Diego, I think, can win games, but I don't think they're going to be massively a profitable team because of the price you're going to have to lay with them. Keep your eye on Atlanta to turn this thing around. They're too good. They just can't buy a break right now. But, you know, if Atlanta's going to lose four or five in a row, they could very easily win five or six in a row after. So keep your eye on Atlanta to turn the corner. I'm buying in on the Houston Astros. I really am. I'm buying in on the Houston Astros. I think the Astros have a chip on their shoulder. I think Dusty Baker's a great manager. They still have a ton of talent. I do buy into the – they have great pitching, too. That's the thing. Like, the Astros pitching keeps them in games, and they have enough hitters that eventually someone's going to put a couple of runs on the board, even without the trash cans. And I know the Astros are an easy team to hate, but the fact is, like, it was the same thing with Tom Brady, you know, with Deflategate and with Spygate. And every time, like, people would call the Patriots out for being cheaters, did it ever affect them? Did it ever affect them? You know, did it affect Julian Edelman when he got suspended for steroids? No, he won the MVP after, right? Like, you know, no. Like, you know, like there's certain teams, certain players. Patrick Reed's like that with golf. Patrick Reed's like that in golf. You know, coming up with the Masters. Somebody keep your eye on, actually, this week. He's from Georgia, too, obviously, right? But Patrick Reed's the type of guy where, like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody on the tour likes him. The media is always ripping him. He doesn't have any real buddies on the tour or anything like that. He's kind of like public enemy number one in the golf world, or at least one of them. Yet, does it bother him? No. And it seems like whenever people get into it with him, he plays better after, actually. Right? There's certain guys that just embrace the villain, the heel role, so to speak. And the Houston Astros and Dusty Baker, Dusty's the perfect manager for this. Dusty Baker is a very, you know, hard-assed, crusty, old-school dude, right? And Dusty Baker was born with a chip on his shoulder. So he doesn't need people throwing trash cans at his team and yelling obscenities at his team to get locked in here. But I do think Houston do play with a purpose. And I think that, you know, like sometimes in a long season, you can get teams and you can catch a team that's a talented team, maybe tired, disinterested. There's not as many fans in the stands. Ball players will tell you when there's not fans in the stands or not as many, they can drift a bit and there's not, you know, the atmosphere. But if you're yelling at them all game and you're calling them names all game and you're throwing things at them and throwing things on the field all the time and you're outside when their bus comes into the stadium booing them all the time, it keeps them alert, if anything. You know what I mean? It's not like suddenly they're going to start daydreaming and drifting in the outfield in California. And, you know, but they're going to be thinking, you know what? All they're going to be hearing is people yelling things at them. And they're going to hear everything because there's not as many people in the stadium now. And it's just going to keep them alert, motivated, focused. So I think the Astros are a team to keep our eye on moving forward. And I'm curious to see what their schedule looks like moving forward. Listen, these guys are kicking ass and they haven't even played. They haven't played a home game yet. All right. They haven't even gotten home yet. So, oh, and here we go. So Athletics and Astros in Houston. Athletics and Astros coming up. And then we got the Tigers rolling into Houston. So keep your eye on Houston here just to get off to a torrid start. I wouldn't, like, abandon ship on these guys anytime soon. Like, what baseball, you ride the hot team. It's as simple as that. You ride the hot team. We said something earlier, too, something that's somewhat of a surprise, that the Toronto Blue Jays have been playing to the under so far this year, and the Yankees have been playing to the under as well. So looking at the overnight baseball lines right now at FanDuel for the afternoon games, at least, we'll be on at 6 o'clock Eastern, breaking down the night card. The Pittsburgh Pirates are in Cincinnati again. Now, the market is catching up to this. Now the Reds are minus 225. Right. It's one thing tonight, like, you know, it's one thing to lay. The other night we laid 140 with the Reds. Now today, earlier today, I think we laid 164 or whatever it was with the Reds. Now they're already up to minus 225. And, you know, the Reds are not going to win every day. And at minus 1.5 plus 100, it's not attractive enough to say, yeah, you know what, we'll just lay the run line here. So even though the Reds are hot, I don't know, maybe if you want to put them in a parlay and ride the momentum right now, but minus 225 is a high price, in my opinion, for the Cincinnati Reds. We talked about the Detroit Tigers making money. Maeda's on the hill for the Twins tomorrow. And, yeah, Minnesota should probably win this game, but you can't trust the Twins. Like, it's too high of a price to be laying on the road against a Tigers team that's 3-2, that's shown some heart this year, is a plus-money team. You're getting plus-money with them once again. Hard to get in front of the Detroit Tigers here, and I'd say it's hard to want to lay that price. Tampa Bay is now an underdog. So it's Eovaldi against Yarbrough, and I'm almost, and I hate chasing. I freaking hate being behind the eight ball and chasing this stuff, but the Tampa Bay Rays.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Have lost two straight here in Boston. Now they got Yarbrough on the hill here as an underdog. Now the Red Sox are favorites. Not a spot that the Sox are comfortable in. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Let's talk Masters. Bring it.
We are the first 24-hour network giving you the most extensive fantasy sports and odds coverage of all major sports.
Get on the grid.
Is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 204. The countdown to the Masters continues. We're less than 48 hours away. Let's bring in the Golf Channel's Rex Holgaard to break it all down with us. And there's a lot to break down. Always a pleasure, Rex. Happy Masters. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Best time of year.
So firm and fast are words that I've heard a lot over the last couple of days. And for the casual golf fan, can you explain to everybody how this course is going to play differently in the traditional time of the year in April than it did in November?
I think that's why it's so stark, right? Like, we're used to seeing this golf course in April, unless, you know, we do have wet years, and of course it's going to rain sometimes. But the reason that we're focused, I think, so much on it this particular week is because we were just here a couple months ago in November, and the golf course played so vastly different. It didn't even feel like Augusta National on some level, and certainly 20 under par winning score by Dustin Johnson was kind of a testament to that. It was a golf course that was gettable. It was a golf course they could be aggressive on. You're not going to have that this week. As a matter of fact, I asked Adam Prescott yesterday, what he would compare it to. And he actually went as far back, all the way back to Zach Johnson's year when he won. You remember, he didn't go for any of the par fives in two. He laid up, he played the percentages. It was hard, it was fast, it was bouncy, it was cold, it was windy, all of those things. And that's kind of what you're getting. And you're starting to see the greens almost in reverse order. Usually they sort of inch it towards tournament ready, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It seems like they're already there. And it makes me wonder, how far are they going to push this?
Rex, we often hear golfers, and I saw Bryson talking about how he was going to be a little bit more patient this time and just try to, you know, put himself in a position to score birdies. Yet there's something about, and we remember Phil in the old days, and you know golf better than I do, but what is it about these guys that can't resist sometimes just trying to kill it, can they? They're like, no, I can do it. I can do it. I'll just crush it and I'll get it there.
I mean, I think at Bryson's point of view, and it's a fascinating case study to me because I find him so entertaining on so many different levels, and talking with him today where he is learning. He learned a lot from that Masters in November and sort of that fixation on let's hit it longer.
Yeah.
That being said, he also realizes that length is his advantage. That's what he can take to that first tee, and he knows he can look around and he knows I got an advantage over everybody else in this field because I can take these crazy lines that no one else can. Now, that being said, if you look at what he did in November when he finished tied for 34th, he led the field in driving distance. It was impressive. It was a fun show, but it was kind of a bearded lady deal. I mean, people weren't going out to watch him putt in his short game because he struggled on and around the greens. And I think he learned that, look, I need to continue to play this golf course aggressively with my distance, but there's another half of it. I need to figure out how to play these greens, how to play these humps, how to play all these weird bumps.
So Bryson says that he has something very special in his bag this week, but he's not sharing what it is. Said it's going to be very helpful. Were you able to get anything out of him at all, Rex, about this? So what's he talking about? What's his secret weapon? What's the word on the tour? What is the secret weapon here?
Oh, it's his driver. I mean, he's referenced this in recent weeks, and I mean, this has more to do with kind of his manufacturer. And keep in mind, 90% of the clubs that are played on tour are custom built to that particular player. I mean, no one's really ever playing Tiger Woods' driver. You're just playing the driver that back in the day Nike said was Tiger Woods' driver. So I think in this particular case, nobody swings like Bryson. And so they have to do special things to it. I mean, let's just be realistic. And I think he has something in his bag as far as the driver goes that he's confident with.
It's too bad that Tiger isn't here, and I'm not somebody, I understand that there's other golfers in the world besides Tiger Woods, but when you consider how good he played here just two Masters ago, and, you know, the other storylines with Dustin Johnson trying to repeat, and now, you know, Jordan's resurgence right now, it would be great to have Tiger in the mix. And I heard JT say it sort of settled, you know, their reality sort of kicked in when guys were playing the practice rounds and Tiger wasn't there. Tiger's texting them saying, yeah, I wish I was there. It's not the same without Tiger. It's still a great tournament we have in store, but it's too bad Tiger can't be here.
Well, in the circumstances. I mean, there have been Masters that Tiger hasn't played in for a variety of injuries and reasons. However, in this particular case, we all saw the car. We all know how dangerous that was. We all know how close he came to losing his life. And, I mean, I think a lot of people in golf are very, very thankful right now. Certainly, I'm sure Tiger Woods is very thankful right now. And it makes you kind of look back, especially today, Tuesday, tonight's the Champions Dinner. That's when, you know, Tiger is kind of part of this big elite group. And they all go and they tell these great stories. And it's going to be felt very, very deeply tonight because I think he is part of a very special group. Everybody enjoys going to that dinner and being a part of it. And you're right, JT talked about it today. He's been lucky enough to be a part of that threesome practice round with Freddie Couples. And it's certainly going to be felt more this year than ever before.
So speaking of, let's talk about the contenders right now. What do you think about Dustin Johnson? It seems to me that he seems to be getting just more comfortable and relaxed. And I'm not just talking about golf, and you would know him, you know him personally. I do not. But from afar, he just seems to be a guy that's comfortable with who he is right now, comfortable with his game, happy in his personal life, and a dangerous golfer coming into this tournament.
Oh, I think all of those things. Like I said, I don't think, you know, 20 under is on the board this week, just the way the golf course is going to play. But that doesn't mean that Dustin Johnson can't be, you know, win back-to-back Masters, simply because it didn't matter if that Masters was played last November or this April. The way he was playing, he was going to win that tournament. And if he can find, you know, sort of rekindle that magic, and there's no reason he can't. We see him do it on a pretty regular basis. I would throw up one flag when it comes to him. He hasn't been putting his best over the last few weeks, especially at the match play a couple of weeks ago. Didn't have a great putting around, and we all know how important that is around this golf course. Not to say he can't figure it out, but I just think that's one thing to keep an eye on.
Now, normally when a guy wins on tour, it's so hard to win at any time, let alone to win 2 weeks in a row. But Jordan Spieth is a little bit, he's a different cat, and we know about his history here. And he's got his swagger, his confidence, his back right now. And I thought it was interesting that he said, I never realized how hard it was to win a tournament. Because I thought, you know, I used to think it was so easy. And now I realize how hard it actually is to win. So Jordan has clearly been humbled, but he's on his game. And it's amazing as far as the odds are concerned. He's just been climbing every week for the last couple of months, Rex, as the odds makers recognize the improvement in his game. How much of a contender is he? Is he one of the guys to beat, in your opinion, this week? Or is it asking too much to go back-to-back like this?
We did our top five list last night, and I would put Jordan in my top five. Now, there is what you just pointed out. It's very, very hard. Winning on the PGA Tour takes a lot out of you. What Tiger did for the better part of a decade is absolutely amazing, because it seems like every time he teed it up, he was in contention, and a lot of those times he won, more times than not. It seems like he ended up winning. All that being said is Jordan's game has been trending in the right direction for a long time. That victory last week didn't jump up and surprise people who've been paying attention. And we all know his record around this place. So when he's playing well, when he has some confidence, that usually bodes well. So I would still put him in my top five. And then I kind of ruffled with that one yesterday, but I still like his odds.
So Bryson is the favorite right now, co-favorite with Dustin. You mentioned, so he finished in 34th the last time. What's going to be different for him this time around, in your opinion?
He said he wants to focus on his iron play, and this is a second shot golf course. That's always what people talk about. And I think if you can put your approach shots in the right place, don't put yourself in a bad position. That sometimes 40 feet from the hole is better than trying to be 2 feet from the hole in this particular case. And I think he learned that back in November. The last four times, obviously, he's played here. I think that's going to be a difference, and maybe not as much of a fixation on that length. It seemed to, I don't want to say it became a distraction, but he was clearly fixated on playing the 48-inch shaft driver, all of those things. And I think maybe he's broken out of that a little bit.
Rex Hogard of the Golf Channel kicking with us on Sports Ridge late night. I am Gabriel Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 204. So who makes the cut? And I don't mean the cut as far as the cut line is concerned, but who are the contenders? Who are the guys to beat, in your opinion?
I think we mentioned DJ. I don't care if it was played in November or April. The way when he's playing like that, he's tough to beat. And, of course, Jordan is one to keep an eye on. But the two that I'm leaning into is Justin Thomas. I mean, he, of course, won the Players last month, and that is the fifth major. I mean, that's against the deepest field on a very demanding golf course. And he hasn't had great results around this golf course, but I feel like it's a learning curve for a lot of guys, and he's starting to get to that point of the curve that you can expect to see some sort of results, and he's there. And then Patrick Reed, he's just been quietly sort of going about his business. Obviously, he won earlier this year in San Diego, and I just feel like when he is playing that way, and obviously he's won on this golf course before, he can just be so sneaky good.
Nobody's talking, before we get you out of here, let me just throw a couple of names at you. Not a lot of people are talking about Brooks Koepka, and if they do, they're talking about how they don't think he's going to win. What's your opinion on Brooks coming into this tournament?
I just followed Brooks up the hill from 8 all the way up 9, and I watched him limp pretty much the whole way, and he was rubbing his knee. He actually can't bend all the way down to read the putts. He has to put that right leg out to the side because of the knee injury. I mean, it's less than a month since he had surgery on that. So it's physically going to be a struggle. Now, the interesting thing is, talking with his caddy, watching him play those two holes, he's actually hitting it great. I mean, his game looks very, very good if you can just get him around the golf course. And that's going to be a big if, because this golf course is relentless. They're physically going to be challenged. So I'm not 100% sure that I'd be confident in him right now.
So Dustin and Tiger, guys, are the last two winners here. But before that, the winners were somewhat of a surprise. They were coming from like the middle of the pack. If there's a guy that's not at the top of the odds board that you're keeping an eye on, can Xander Schauffele put it together for four consecutive rounds? Can Tony Finau? You know, we know Tony's got the game, but he has problems finishing. What about one of the longer shots, mid-tier golfers? Who are you looking at, Rex?
So Xander certainly loves playing in Georgia the way he plays the Tour Championship, and I don't know why that wouldn't translate all the way down here to Augusta National. But we did a dark horse in our podcast last night, and I went with Brian Harman for a number of different reasons. You know, he went to the University of Georgia. He's a left-hander. Left-handers usually seem to have a pretty good record around this place. He's playing unbelievably good golf right now. I don't think he's finished out of the top five on the PGA Tour in a month, and I just think his game – As it stands right now, he's not long. He's not going to blow you away. But he has one of those kind of games that when the conditions are like this, he's a grinder. And I could see him out-grinding everybody else.
Before we get you out of here, Rory. So this is the last, of course, this is the one tournament that he hasn't won before. And it seems to be, you know, he seems to be getting further away from winning this thing than closer, doesn't he? You know, can he surprise everybody? He's not on top of his game right now, but what have you seen from Rory this week?
I think he's heading in the right direction. I mean, obviously, he's kind of gone with a new swing coach and Pete Cowher, and he feels like the Pete is simplifying things. I'm a big fan of Rory when it comes to just how he puts the game in a box and doesn't let it rule his life. And I think he's doing a very, very good job of that right now. And I think eventually the work he's putting in with Pete and these things that he's doing are going to pay off. And he's going to get back to where we all expect him to be, which is winning major championships and being number one in the world. I'm just not quite sure if he's there yet.
Rex Hogarth, the Golf Channel, with us. Well, Rex, we always appreciate you taking the time to be with us and talking some golf. We don't know who's going to be in the middle of this thing on Sunday afternoon, but we know there will be drama, and I can't wait to see it all unfold.
It'll be fun. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Rex, it's always a pleasure. Rex Hogarth, the Golf Channel, kicking with us as the countdown to the Masters is on Sports Rage Late Night, Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. You know the digits, you know the drill. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're here 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Three-minute warning, quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We did not get to the Champions League action, and I see Bayern Munich is in action against Paris Saint-Germain, and of course they played in the final, and it was a great final at that. Bayern Munich are on an incredible run right now, guys. In the Champions League, they are 18-0-1 in their last 19 matches. And I remember last year, people said, oh, well, it's not the same because it was, I guess it was single legs and, oh, it was, you know, neutral and this and that were the other thing. Well, we'll see if they can do it again and go back to back right now. But an incredible run. So they've won 18 straight matches, Champions League play. The only outlier being a 1-1 draw with Atletico Madrid on December the 1st. Bayern Munich have not lost on their home pitch since 2019 as well. It really has been one of the most dominant runs in football history. But Paris Saint-Germain, I have a lot of respect for them. They're a very, very dangerous, dangerous side, Matthias. And I'm surprised that you're not, you don't already have a bunch of bets lined up for this. You're a big soccer guy. How can you not be laying it down on the Champions League?
Gabe, as big of a soccer guy as I am, and I trust me, I am, man. That's been my that's been my love since I was 5 years old. I've never been good at handicapping soccer. The ties always mess with me. You know, even when I pick the pure winners, they end up tying. You know, crazy things happen. It's just not my sport. I don't have the best of luck in that sport, man. It's kind of crazy.
But you played it. It can happen. It can happen, right? Yeah. You just, because you played something doesn't mean you're going to be able to cap it. But as I say, listen, Bayern Munich, they're minus 110 right now at FanDuel. The draw is plus 280. This is the first leg of two. Paris Saint-Germain's only beaten Bayern Munich once in Germany. And that was in like 1994. Give me Bayern Munich minus 110. Thanks to all of our guests this evening. Thanks to everybody who joined us. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.